Father, we just come before you this morning and we pray that you remove every barrier to prophetic revelation, Lord. We pray that you give us eyes to see the unseen realm. Give us an awareness, Lord, of the unseen. Lord, we know that if we can see the invisible, we can have the impossible. And so today, Lord, open our eyes to see. Give us backbones of steel. Give us hearts of fire and eyes of wonder. Never let us lose the wonder of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, Lord. And I pray today that you will elevate the voice of God above the noise, Lord, around the world. And we pray today that you will speak to us, Lord, powerfully, Lord, from thy word. We seek to be synergized, energized, and we seek to be mobilized, Lord, by the word of God. And what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, amen. This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of activating the anointing or activation. And I want to begin by saying that many of you have already received your assignment from heaven, from the Lord, and you know what it is, but you have not yet been activated. And there's a big difference between knowing the assignment and being activated. It's like being called, and the next step is to be chosen. And the moment of activation is what I want to talk about today, the moment of activation. And my text is in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. If you have a Bible, turn to it. And when you get there, look at verses 15 to 18. And the Lord speaks to Elijah in the cave, if you remember, and he says, go, return to on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arise, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place, and it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that have not kissed him. Elijah was the premier prophet in Israel, no doubts about that. When he first appears in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17, he appears as a full-blown prophet, and he comes to a very backslid, wicked king called Ahab, and he prophesies that a drought would be coming to Israel that would last for 3.5 years. Now, during the reign of Ahab, Baal worship had become the state religion. Temples were built for Baal. Prophets were ordained for him. And this was all funded by the state. Jezebel, a Sidonian princess, was married to Ahab, whom she manipulated and encouraged to do evil like no other king in evil. The Bible tells us that he was the worst of the Lord. And because of Jezebel, and she murdered all the prophets of God, except for 100 prophets that were hidden in a cave by a godly man called Obadiah. But the shedding of innocent blood had to be atoned and answered for. Over the span of the next 3.5 years, mercenaries and bounty hunters were sent to search for Elijah, but God hid his prophet. At the end of 3.5 years, the prophet appears before Ahab and issues a challenge. The challenge was for all the prophets of Baal and Asherah to come to the top of Mount Carmel and for all of Israel to gather. And the challenge is this: the God who answers by fire, he is God. All Israel assembled on Mount Carmel, including the prophets of Baal, 850 of them who sat at Jezebel's table. I tell you, you can never be a prophet if you're sitting on Jezebel's table. The prophet of Baal started first, and they began their rituals, and all through the day cut themselves and screamed, and no one heard, no one bothered. Then the time of the evening sacrifice came. Elijah brought the children of Israel near to set the altar up in place, laid the sacrifice, doused it with water, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then he called on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, licked up all the water, and the people fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And the prophets of Baal and Asherah were slain. But that was not all. That was not all. The prophet goes up to the top of Mount Carmel where he prays 7 times. And on the 7 times, they see a cloud the size of a man's fist rising up. And the drought was broken, all in a day's work for an amazing prophet. The next day, Jezebel sends a message to the prophet. He says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be a dead man. You know, the day before, he stands before 850 prophets of Baal with their knives.
He stands before an entire backslid nation and he was not afraid. But when he was threatened by this woman, he ran for his life. Don't you ever underestimate the power of a woman to intimidate you. But Jezebel was no ordinary woman. She was a witch. And she gained her power from the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices of innocent blood that she shed in Israel. And all the demons under her command. And it was the demons that were unleashed against Elijah, which is why he ran in the wilderness, because of the great depression and oppression that he was feeling from the demonic. This woman was a witch. He goes there in the middle of the day's journey in the wilderness. And he falls asleep. He wakes up and there's an angel. Angel cooks for him. He eats. He goes back to sleep. And then he gets up again. And the angel says, eat again, because this journey is too long. Sometimes the answer to some of our burnout is eat, sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the angel says that this food is going to sustain you. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Elijah, he says, you won't be able to make it without supernatural grace. What God said to Elijah, he says to all of us, this journey is too long for you and you will need supernatural grace. Come on, hallelujah. And on the strength of the food for 40 days, he goes to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. Where 500 years earlier, there was another prophet in the very same mountain who had an encounter with God when God passed by and announced his name. His name was Moses. Very same mountain, very same cave that God hit the prophet. He's in this cave. And the Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here? He says, Lord, I am jealous for you. I'm the only one left in Israel. There was no other people left in this country that loves you, and they won't turn away from their sin. And he was discouraged and he was despondent as he's standing there. There was this mighty wind that came. God's not in the wind. Then this earthquake came. God's not in the earthquake. Then the fire came. God's not in the fire. I'll tell you, that was the original earth, wind, and fire. Original earth, wind, and fire. Because that's how God appeared to Moses, by the earthquake, by the fire, and by the wind. But God, he goes into this cave, and then the Lord speaks to him in a still, small voice. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest to you that God's not going to come in an earth, wind, and fire way. He's going to come to all of us in a still, small voice. You can't hear him if you're always busy. You need to sit down. Maybe one of our services, we should just all sit quietly for 30 minutes and don't do anything. Sit and hear what God is saying. He speaks in a still, small voice. Elijah is despondent, and I want you to see what God says, because God, and this is the gist, all this is just preamble to what I want to say. This is what the Lord said to the prophet. He said, I have an assignment for you, Elijah. It's a three-part assignment. Number one, you go to Syria where you anoint a man called Hazael. Then you go to Israel, there's a man called Jehu. He's not king yet. And then you go to Elisha, the son of Shaphat, the prophet in your stead. And the Lord says, what you started, these three men will finish. They will remove Jezebel from a throne. They will destroy the house of Ahab. And they will remove every trace of Baal worship in Israel. Good riddance. Then the Lord said to Elijah, and by the way, you're not the only one I have. I have 7,000 who have not bowed down to Baal. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God would make this house a church that will never bow to the spirit of the world. That we will not bow, we will not bow, we will not bow, given to the spirit of Baal and the spirit of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to rise up and up the ante. Then in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah goes to Abel-Meholah seeking for Elisha. And you know the story. He sees Elisha plowing in famine, right? The ground must have been super hard. And he takes off his mantle and he puts it on Elisha for a single moment. And the moment that mantle touched that man, I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, my goodness, he felt the weight of the mantle of Elijah. And Elijah he said, Lord, what have I done to you? That man was ruined for the rest of his life because he felt the mantle of Elijah the prophet, the weight of the mantle. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this. People have asked me all the time, Pastor, is there a successor in Cornerstone? I have no right to pass the mantle over my life to anyone. God is the one who chooses the man. And I'm not going to be coerced. And I'm not going to be pressured by anybody or anything. I have to hear the word of the Lord. It is the Lord who gave me this mantle. And the day will come when I will put the mantle on another man. It's not my mantle to give. It's God's mantle, and he will give it to whomever he chooses. Oh my goodness, when that mantle touched Elisha, he said, I cannot carry this. I'm not ready for this mantle. It's too heavy for me. He gives it back to Elijah. He says, but let me serve you, my master. Please let me come and serve you. And for 7 years, he washed the hands of Elijah. How many of you know that when you wash the hands of someone, you can see the dirt on the hand? And if there's anybody who could hurt Elijah, it was Elisha. Because he knew the weaknesses. When you stay with a man, I've been married to this woman 40 years. We see each other's weaknesses. Hallelujah. She knows what kind of a man I am. And I thank the Lord that she zips them out. She doesn't tell anybody. That's a job. She's supposed to cover me. A friend of mine asked this friend, he said, have you ever, in all these years, have you ever thought of divorcing your wife? He said, divorce never, murder many times. Hallelujah. So this mantle is not mine to give. I want to just say this. And so Elijah anoints, takes Elisha as his mantle servant. And then he goes and, of course, he anoints these two men, Jehu and Hazael. I can't stand it, ladies and gentlemen. I can't stand these preachers that say, oh, you know, he disobeyed. He didn't go to Jehu. He didn't go to... He did! It's in the narrative. I mean, for a man the stature of Elijah to disobey God at such an important task, he would have been struck dead by God straight away. I tell you this, he was an obedient prophet. But when he went to these two men, Jehu and Hazael, they were young military officers in the military, and they were nobodies. They were nobodies. Listen, when you go to somebody who's a nobody and you stand and says, one day God is going to anoint you to be the next king of this country. What do you think goes through the head of these people? They said, you must be bonkers. You must be mad. I'm just a junior officer in the military. What do you think about being a king in this city? Can you imagine? Jehu and Hazael, they were just kids, man. They were just young junior officers. And now Elijah say, one day you're going to be the next king of Israel. You're going to be the next king of Syria. And I want to just say that this is the most important part. They were almost clueless. But it's much later in 2 Kings chapter 8 and 9 that God sends Elisha to activate what God had promised them many years later. And it's really interesting. He goes to Hazael, he activates him, and within a day or two, he's the king of Syria. Come on. That's how fast God can do this. And then the next thing he goes to Jehu, and he anoints Jehu, and he becomes king over Israel. Now, here's what I want to say to you, because this is the whole gist of the message. What's happening here is that God is activating something that he promised these men many years before. The time has come for the destiny to be fulfilled. Both Hazael and Jehu were activated at the same time. It's like being, you were called. When the call first came to you, you were called. But it takes time to be chosen. Many are called. Few are chosen because they failed the test. Some are cold and few are frozen. Hallelujah. Time out. We're going to have a time out. I want you to pause, sit back. I want you to think about the time when you first received the revelation that there was a call and a destiny for your life. You might have to go back, some of you, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, maybe 25 years for some of you. Please, for a few moments, help me with this. Try and recall the first time the call of God came to you and you had a realization, oh my goodness, God has a plan for my life. That's your destiny. That's your assignment. That's your call. Prophecy is just the announcement of the future. God will prophetically show you what you will do many years before you are activated to do it. And you have to steward the word. You have to hold fast to the word. And even if the circumstances are contrary, the call will be the chosen if they are faithful. There comes a point in time in your life where the Lord will visit you and he will put in this key and he will turn on the ignition, bam! And then all of a sudden, everything in you becomes alive. I tell you this, my friends, this is how God works. I'll give you one example. I'll share my testimony with you. David must have been 16, 17. Prophet Samuel comes to the house of Jesse. He says, you are going to be the next king of Israel. All his brothers are frustrated and they're perplexed, including David. David says, oh my goodness, I'm just a shepherd boy. How can I be the next king of Israel? He has a revelation of his assignment that he was not called to be a shepherd of sheep, but a shepherd to the house of Israel. A series of things happened that led him to the palace, kills Goliath, and the next thing we know, he's a fugitive running away from Saul for something like 12 to 13 years. When David turns 30, Saul is killed in the battle. David returns to Hebron. He's not forgotten the promise made by Samuel. He's anointed king over Judah, but that's only a partial fulfillment of the prophetic word. The prophetic word was he was going to be king over all of Israel. Now he's just tribal warlord of one single tribe. The majority of people in Israel still did not recognize who David was. They all looked at Saul still. For 7.5 years, David was king over one tribe. The rest of the 11 tribes resisted David. Why? Because it was not time yet for David. And for those 7.5 years, the house of Saul fought against the house of David. While the house of Saul was resisting, David was maturing. At the end of that period, the veil, I'm telling you this, it will happen. The veil will be removed over the eyes of the people and they will recognize the anointing and the mantle over your life. God has to do this. It's not something we do. Suddenly the people saw David for who he is. He is the one. He is the chosen one. And the elders of the 11 tribes came to Hebron and they said, David, you are the man. They anointed him and God began to fulfill his promises. What does it tell you? It tells you that there are going to be delays in our lives, but they are just part of God's way to bring us to a maturity to reign when we can carry the scepter, or for some of you, the censor, the priest and the king. In all those years, although he was anointed king, running around with 600 men from one cave to another cave, and it wasn't until he was anointed by the elders of Israel that the people finally recognized who David was. The blinders were removed. Then in Psalms 89 and verse 19, he says, you spoke the vision to the holy ones and said, I've given help to one who is mighty. I've exalted one chosen for my people. Oh, my friends, when God raises a leader, he aids the leader by bringing other strong men and women around him to fulfill the vision. The Lord speaks in a vision to his holy ones, plural, and tells them about David, and they come alongside David to strengthen his crown and throne. The veil must be removed from people's eyes to see, and we all, we all need to be more discerning as to who God has chosen in our city. The ones that God has chosen, not singular, plural. I believe in plurality of leadership. I believe this with all my heart. God's going to raise a company of apostolic leaders that will lead cities, hallelujah, cities, amen. Now, please allow me the liberty to share from my own personal experience. And you know, I don't want you to think, oh, Pastor Young is always talking about himself. Please hear me. This is not me bragging or boasting, but I just want to share my own personal journey. All that is happening in my life today prophesied to me in the early 1980s. That's many years ago. I was a student in the university at the end of my first year. 3 months vacation, I said, I'll go to Bible school. And 3 months I was in Bible school, the Lord did something in my life. I hear the word right now for some of you, Bible College of Wales. Yeah, okay. And it was there that God spoke to me about my destiny and about what he has called me to do. That was the start. Second year, 1982, I led a team of from the varsity to Sri Lanka. Spent a month there in Sri Lanka, whole month. I met a group of prophets who prophesied things about me that I've never heard before. This is the first time I'm hearing things. And they were prophesying that you're going to pastor, you're going to lead the church, you're going to church going to impact the city, you're going to impact the nations, God's going to do all these wonderful things. I thought to myself, that's too much for me. I'm just a university student. All I could see, my vision at that point was just to pass my next exams. That was the extent of my vision. But I kept all those prophetic promises in the back burner of my heart, and I waited. 45 years later, I want to say that everything those prophets said have come to pass. 45 years ago. In 1989, I get the activation. On the way to my office, I was in the secular world, sitting in a bus. The word of the Lord comes to me and activates something to me and ruined me. I walked into my office that morning, had no desire to want to be in the office any longer. And I knew my time has come. God was activating what He promised me many, many years ago. This is 1989. All I will say to you is watch for the moment of activation. When God comes and puts the key in, turns on the ignition. When I finally obeyed and quit my job, a series of events took place in rapid succession. Bam, 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 bam. And all of that led to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Bit, 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 about, bit, boom, hallelujah. And 36 years later, we're all here. We're all here. And His word is true. And all those little coincidences and serendipitous events, the people that you meet in life, the courses that you take in the university, the job that you were in, all those things were part of that whole mix to prepare you for the true assignment that you have in your life. And that's why you never despise where God puts you. You might be working in the office day and night and you're grumbling and you're frustrated and you're angry. You might lose the call of God upon your life because you don't know that that routine is building something called faithfulness in you. Faith will help you acquire something, but faithfulness will help you stay with it. Hallelujah. You got to have both. You have to have faith. You have to have faithfulness as well. So watch for the moment of activation. Coincidences are just God's way of remaining anonymous. The friends that you meet in life, the people that impacted your life, all of that, there is a hidden, invisible master of ceremonies that's working behind the scenes in your life to bring you where you are today. You read the book of Esther. It's one of the most miraculous books in the entire Bible. And you don't find God's name one time. His name is not mentioned, but it's so supernatural. He's behind the scenes and He's remaining anonymous. But oh my goodness, He's making something out of nothing. And God will do that for you. If you trust Him, God will do that for you. Amen. And you know, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is that He will show you things to come. He won't show you everything at once because I don't think we can take it. You know, that's how it happened in my life. He tells me what I'm going to do. And then gradually, more and more, He opens the vision. And as I am able to bear it, He shows me. But He will show you a future, what will it look like one step at a time if you are plugged into Him. And when He shows you the future, trust me, it is not something that you can accomplish yourself. He's going to show you a future that you can't accomplish. And then you will say to Him, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. I tell you this, the vision is always bigger than the man. And if your prayer life is not more than your ministry life, you're in trouble, my friends. You want to make sure that your prayer ministry is greater than the ministry in the church. I close with this story. Moses is a deliverer of Israel. When he first, at the age of 40, he knew he was the man that God had chosen. He knew it. But he was premature. Premature. 14,600 days premature. And he saw a man abusing a Jewish man. He killed the Egyptian. And the next thing he knows, he's fleeing. Because he thought to himself, I thought they knew that I was the man. I thought they would accept me. I thought standing up for Israel, for a man, for the Jewish people, for the slaves, that they would understand my heart. They didn't. So for the next 40 years, he's in the wilderness. Right? And then the moment of activation comes 40 years later. He sees the burning bush and God puts a key in, activates him and says, now the time has come. And he becomes the deliverer of Israel. And I'm saying this to you, wait for the moment of activation. Maybe today the Lord will put a key in you, turn it around, and activate something in you. I can go story after story. David, Joseph, you know Joseph as well, had the dream, 17 years of age, that he was going to be the prince and all of these people are going to bow to him. And many years later, when he was the governor and all the brothers standing, he remembers the dream. The Bible says he remembered the dream. It's, oh my goodness, this is a, it's like deja vu. The dream is being fulfilled right now. My friends, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said it, he will do it. He gave you a word, he gave you a promise. You might have forgotten the promise, he will not forget. He will bring it to pass. Some of you, God's going to elevate you and your family is going to recognize who you really are. And some of you, God is going to give you a ministry and people in your country are going to recognize who you are, the authority that you carry. Amen. So watch for the moment of activation. Let's all stand in the presence of God. I want to close in prayer. Shoba Haryanda Sonde Kereba. Purenda Shima Randu Karyanda Losotri. You know, there's one verse I want to close with. It's in Jeremiah 45 in verse 5. The prophet Jeremiah is talking to his assistant, Baruch. And he says to Baruch, Baruch, listen to me. He says, you're seeking for big things in life, a big ministry, big church. He said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. He said, calamity is coming to the earth and it's going to be terrible. Everybody is going to be affected by it. So don't seek big things for yourself. He says, the price that God will give you because of a righteous man that you are is your life. You will be preserved. You know, everybody that I know want to come to Singapore. Singapore is a city. People, in Genesis chapter 11, in the building of the Tower of Babel, people are drawn to cities. They're drawn to big cities, to New York, London, Dubai, Singapore. They want to go to big cities because that's where you can make the money. That's where the fame is. That's where, if you want a reputation, you can't have it in a small little town in India. You got to go to a big, big city. So they flood to all these big cities, looking for their reputations, looking for that big break. Many people come to Singapore, many pastors come, hoping to start something here and making a name for themselves. Just be careful about that. I just want to put a little caution. You must hear from God what He wants you to do. I feel this is very important because some of us here today, God has given you a faithful ministry in a village and your ministry is being blessed. But you say, I need to go to the capital because that's where all the people are. Then the Lord says, no, I've given you fruit here. Stay and do what God has called you to do. Don't be lured by the promise of wealth and the riches. And people think, oh, if I come to Singapore and I build a big church, my life is settled and, you know, and I'm going to have a great life. No, sir. No, sir. You must be in the will of God for your life, where God has placed you. Now, I want to say this for the many pastors here in CGN, and God has put you in little, sometimes a little town, and you're laboring and you're saying, Lord, I'm struggling so hard and don't seem to have any people, and maybe I should go to the main city and maybe there I'll be successful. The Lord says, stay and be faithful. He's not calling you to be successful, He's calling you to be faithful. So I want to pray right now. God wants to activate some of you here today. And again, my word to you, watch for the moment of activation. Watch for the moment of activation. Parakinda morataya daba. Hallelujah, Jesus. Samarandoria yaramasori. Oraya namasori aria mokaya raba shea raba. I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Daphne, just to come and pray over the people.
Amen. You know, Pastor said, He's not called you to be successful. He's called you to be faithful. But when you are faithful, He'll make you successful. Yes. You know, the word of the Lord says that we are to meditate on His word day and night, and He will give you good success. Father, so we come to you. There's nothing, Lord, but the word, Father, that is before us, oh Lord. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, oh God. Father, let that word, Lord, Father, be that torch, be that light that shines, Lord, in every area of our lives, Father. That, Lord, every part in us, Father, Lord, every emotion in us, Father, every call, Father, upon our lives, oh God, that, Father, we are led by that light, Lord, not by, Father, things that stirs up, Father, momentary, Father, things that, Father, that may shake us momentary as well, Lord. Let not those shakings, Lord, lead us, Lord, but the word of the King, the word of the King, the word of the King. Father, we thank you for the word that comes to us, oh Lord, the word that is strong, the word that guides, the word that confronts, the word that speaks, the word that is sharp. Father, so I pray, bless your people today, that, Lord, they will go forth from this place, Lord, with the word of the King, who's come to us, who lives among us, who walks with us, who knows where we are at. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, that his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here because my husband is looking at me. My husband is saying, hey, I'm supposed to do that part. So I'm going to let him do it. It's so funny, isn't he? I love this synergy. It must be like that. It's all right. God knows. Come on.
She forgot the prayer, I can tell you this. The reason I want to pray over you before we dismiss you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. One more time, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and bless the Lord. His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Father, we stand before you this morning, Lord, as a people. And I pray, oh God, many in this room are called. Many are called, Lord. But few are chosen, Lord. I pray, God, that the chosen numbers will rise in this house, Lord, because the call will be faithful, Lord, and they will take the word and they will not run with the word. They will hide the word in their hearts like David, like Joseph. They carry the word in their hearts, oh God. And there will come a time of activation, Lord, where all of a sudden out of the prison, they will come out and become the governor of Egypt, Lord. They will become the place where you have put them, Lord. These pastors, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, activate the gift of God within them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let them wait for that moment of activation, for it shall come, says the Lord. It shall come. It will tarry, but wait for it, says the Lord. Wait for it, says the Lord, and I will come to you, my people. I will come to you, my sons and my daughters, and I will make you alive in my spirit. Hallelujah. For I poured my spirit on you. I poured my spirit on you, and he, my spirit, will teach you all things, and he will show you things to come. Barote sabalanda rabalita rote rando shibabayataba. Oh, Spirit of the Living God, move in this place. Move in this place, oh God. You know, if you would just allow me one or two more minutes, I feel like there is a prophetic word for Pastor Enrique. I just feel the Lord says, my hand is on you, my son. I see the Lord expanding your ministry. I see the Lord increasing your ministry. And the Lord says, you've been faithful in the small things. You have not cared to be known. You have not cared to be famous. And the Lord says, I will bless you and I'll continue to bless you. I'm telling you, God is going to put his hands on you and favor is going to come upon you. My friends, when God shows you favor like he did David, the favor shifts from just attracting resources and manpower, but it shifts into this new realm where all of a sudden you are attracting the favor of God. And when that happens, people are going to recognize the gift of God upon your life. That's what happened to David. The blindness are removed, and all of a sudden they recognize, and the whole nation came to David and said, "You're the man, you're the guy. We stand with you, we fight for you." And I believe that God is going to do something very significant.
Amen. I since we are on this roll, on Thursday night, we had dinner with Pastor Peter. And I need to say this because I feel the tangibility of what God wants to do. And when we were having dinner, we were talking about a few things. And one of the things we spoke about was revival. And we spoke about many things. But when we were talking about revival, I mean, I say this to you, every cell in me lit up by the Holy Spirit. And there was something that was kindling, something that was on fire, something that was, it was a lightning that was, you know, about to just strike on the ground. And then we had our alumni meeting, and we had all the graduates come, and we were praying into on Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning. There was such a unison and such a tangibility, and just praying for Singapore, praying for Wales, praying for a global move. And I want to say Cornerstone and Cornerstone Global Network, you are going to be participators, and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. When the harvest is there, if we don't prepare, we are fools. And so I want to say to all of us, prepare. Because revival, the tangibility is in the air. And everything in you is going to so light up. And you'll be wondering what's happening. It's God. It's God. And when He speaks, you move. When He speaks, you speak what He says. When you see Him, sometimes you may not see Him. You may hear a whisper. Just move. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Why don't we lift our hands as we close in prayer? Shabaya lakunda ramakai riastora. La shomi karabasa taroya nalamam. Marakaya rokaya raboseriam. I want to pray for our brothers and sisters from Nigeria, from RCCG. I want to just lift my hands and pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that what God has put in your hearts will be established here in this country. In the name of Jesus, I thank the Lord for this amazing African community. And I pray that God will cause it to increase. And the Lord will bless you, my brother. My brother, God wants to bless you and increase you and enlarge you and bless your ministry here in Singapore, in Malaysia, and in Southeast Asia, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, bless my brothers from Nigeria. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big praise. Just praise. Just one more time. One more time. Just praise Him. And now, Father, we pray for your blessings upon the people. The blessings of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance on you and grant you His peace. And so may God put His name upon you forevermore. And everyone said, amen. Let's give God a big praise. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.